In the last 10 years, our field has gone from an unknown specialty to a household name. This brings unprecedented opportunities, but we need to rise up to meet them and give our patients the care that they deserve. In order to help others get better, we need to be better. This podcast will help you to become more confident with your patients, more successful in your practice or business, and a leader in pelvic health. And we're going to have some fun along the way. Join us as we rise together. We're Jesse and Nicole Cozine, founders of Pelvic Sanity Physical Therapy and the creators of the Pelvic PT Huddle. And this is Pelvic PT Rising.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Pelvic PT Rising podcast with Jesse and Nicole Cozine. I am so stoked to have Dr. Emily Wilson on the podcast. She is a member of the Pelvic PT Rising business family. She is her own practice owner, and she has such a unique and interesting perspective. I am so excited for you guys to hear and learn from her. So Emily, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you. Excited to be here, Jesse.
Yes, you have perhaps the cutest cat in the world. Can you just give us a little bit of background on Tiger? Because Nicole's sister also has a Bengal, and I don't know how crazy Tiger is, but I mean, they're the most gorgeous animals in the world, but they're like the most high energy, like rampage, at least hers is. How's Tiger?
Yeah, he does like sprints, like dogs do crazy eights. Like I'll hear something upstairs and I know he's running eights, and he talks and meows and loves anytime I'm on Zoom with you guys. He is like right in the computer. Like I have to be seen on screen, but I got him from a patient. I decided I wanted a cat. And the next day I was in the clinic and a patient was like, "Do you want a cat?" And I was like, "Are you serious?" Yeah. Okay. I just agreed yesterday. And so it all kind of unfolded like that.
No way. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. As a Bengal mom, you know, all of that stuff. But talk to me a little bit. So just kind of give me a little bit of background. What got you into physical therapy and what got you in from there into pelvic health?
Yeah, I think I was really kind of intuitively led into it, which we'll get into further in this podcast, but I wanted something hands-on. I decided I was probably 16 or 17 that I wanted to be a PT, but then always thought pediatrics. Got to my last clinical and my first job, they kind of offered me a space of doing pelvic floor therapy. They had no one in this small town of Wyoming. And, you know, I was like, oh, I never thought about that, especially internal work, but I'll go. And I went and I'd happened to have some like external PSIS pain, and they solved it with like one internal treatment in 5 minutes. And that's when I was like, shoulders are cool, but pelvic floors are so much cooler. And now it's this perfect fusion of empowering women and getting them into their inner wisdom and helping guide them through their journey to heal.
I love that. Shoulders are cool, but pelvic floors are so much cooler. I think we found the title of this podcast in like the first 30 seconds here.
Yes.
So were you actually from Wyoming? Like, I feel like every time I turn around, you're someplace else. Like, what was your history? Where'd you grow up and how'd you end up in Wyoming?
I was from New Jersey, went to school in Ithaca, New York. They have a program there, and then bounced out. I never like traveled abroad or anything. And I think I kind of had a grudge and wanted big mountains. So I told my mom, like, I'm doing a clinical out in Wyoming, like two in a row. I chose Casper, Wyoming and Cheyenne, Wyoming. And my mom packed the car. She's like, are you going to stay there? Like, I was like, yeah, I think so. So we like actually switched vehicles so I could have a more adventure vehicle. And I left and I was out there for 5 or 6 years, about 6 years.
No,
until
wait, you,
just recently.
You picked that on the map. You were just like, hey, I want something wide open skies, big mountains, like Casper, Wyoming. That's it.
You know, I'm going to be honest. It was because it was close to Colorado and there were no options in Colorado. And it's just like Colorado is seen as this like magical, magnificent unicorn place. So I kind of ended up living down in Fort Collins, Colorado, but commuting up to work in Cheyenne. So that was like my ticket out to the big mountains.
Gotcha. Okay. I feel like that's pretty much Wyoming's state motto is like Wyoming, like we're next to Colorado.
Right.
Sorry, everybody Cowboys. In Wyoming. I don't think we have that many Wyoming listeners. If so, I actually love it up there. It is such beautiful, beautiful country. You can't like, it's kind of crazy. Like, being from Southern California, you kind of forget just how much like wild there is out there because we're just so like manicured and all of our water is stolen from Colorado, ironically. So we at least have Colorado water out here, but it's just beautiful. And then right around the time that we met, you were making the decision to move to Portland, Maine.
In the pandemic.
Right. And so what was drawing you there? I don't think I even know this story. So what drew you to Portland?
Yeah, well, I think the pandemic was a time where I could slow down. I stopped like saying yes to everyone, stopped people pleasing, and just started listening to what I wanted. And so I kind of felt like I wanted to go back to the East Coast, but kind of was between New Hampshire, Vermont, Maine, wasn't quite sure. And then Portland kind of stood out, and I kept that on the list, did a little road trip with my dad when he was here and like sat on the grass. There's the Eastern Promenade, looks over the ocean, and we were like on a blanket eating delicious vegetarian food with like a 180 degree sunset, kind of like you see out of your back of the house. And I was like, this is the place. It feels right. And I think people are going to be open to my more alternative holistic practice and the intuitive way I lead patients. So it was a vibe, honestly.
That is awesome to hear. And I just have so much respect for people like you, partially because I've never had the courage to do it myself, of people who really do just uproot and say, hey, I want to go try something different. I want to go live here. A couple of our PTs at Pelvic Sanity have made that decision and come out from the East Coast and came out here to work. And it's just such a cool thing for them to do and for you to do and get different experiences and see different things. And I just have so much respect for that because it's, I mean, that's scary. Like starting over in a new town, you don't know anybody, 3,000 miles away from your family. And I don't know. I just have such respect for that. So, and you've done it now, not once, but twice.
Yeah. It is closer to home. So that's the positive. But yeah, I uprooted everything and moved here alone, not knowing anyone. Oh, everyone always asks, like, oh, who'd you know? I'm like, no one. Right. And it was February in a pandemic.
Right. Right. So yeah, there's none of that going on. So talk to me. You've talked now a couple of times about being pretty intuitive. I think anybody mm-hmm. who knows you would say that's a great word. How did you get more in touch with that? Talk to me about kind of your history as you started working in pelvic health. How did that go when you were first starting out?
Yeah, I would say about a year and a half in, I was working for an outpatient orthopedic clinic starting, I was more than a year and a half. I was like 2.5 years into practice, but a year and a half into starting a pelvic specialty there and growing that. And it was exhausting, Jesse. Like I just like wasn't in a good place in my life. I was hyper anxious. I mean, I was treating patients fine, but they were such heavy patients in the way they presented themselves emotionally, crying. I mean, all the things were coming out and I didn't know how to handle it. And I was in a pretty shitty relationships. I also didn't want to go home. So I was at this like catch 22 of like, I don't really want to stay at work and I don't really want to go home. And when I did, I would just like, I couldn't even cook dinner. I didn't have energy for anything. And so I ended up finding a course actually through Herman and Wallace, like one of the big institutes that teaches pelvic health on burnout for pelvic PTs. And I was like, this is really only a year and a half into doing this work and I'm going to go. And I was the youngest one there. And that course really started changing my awareness of what was happening. I remember they passed out a test to everyone in the class, all like 30 or 40 of us, and said, take this test. Let's see what the results are. And they're like, yeah, we knew it. You're all empathic. Just like hairdressers like attract that kind of people. So do pelvic floor therapists just tend to be a little more empathic or tune in a little deeper to patients, but also can like absorb their energy more.
And that's what was happening. Yeah. Like, so at work, you were feeling like, and then that is so hard too, when you don't even have one area of your life that's like a rock. You know, maybe you could have done that for longer if everything was going great back at home, but now you're in that like feedback loop. And that, I mean, that sounds like a little bit scary. Were you anxious before any of that? Or was that really taking that to like a whole new level for you?
Yeah, I think I had like baseline anxiety, maybe, but that's when like I was so anxious. Like I had trouble going to the grocery store, going to mail a package because I had 100 reasons in my head and had to replay it over and over again why it wouldn't work. And that was so confusing for me because I had never been there before. And I would say looking back now, I was depressed. But I was so like in it and at like rock bottom, I didn't know what was happening. I just was trying to survive and like move forward.
Yeah. And you still feel like you have that obligation to your patients. So you can't, I'm sure just knowing you that you weren't letting that affect patient care or at least not consciously, but that keeps that pressure on like day after day, I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. It was cumulative and exhausting.
Okay. Well, I feel pretty certain in saying you're in a much better place now. How did you get out of that? What was the process? Was it all about that burnout course, or what did you learn there that kind of turned things around for you?
Yeah, that was the inklings, like how to move energy, how to protect yourself, how to like do a hard workout if you need to like move a patient's energy out of your body. But then I found a mentor for all of this work. She was empathic too, and almost was this guiding light for people that were struggling with being empathic and absorbing other people's energy. And she really, like, I worked with her for, I don't know, a year and or more. Like, we would just play after that, but like really worked on how to establish my boundaries. That is really what it is, Jesse, is like energetic boundaries, but also like all the boundaries we can have. Got really good at that, and then got to like playing more in the clinic with my more intuitive side and helping actually guide patients that were similar to where I was at that point, like a year or two ago, feeling hyper anxious, absorbing people's energy, kind of taking on more than they could handle, especially moms. That's where I see it all the time, and it just lives in their pelvic floor. So I was able to help guide and teach patients like, hey, let's bubble, or let's try to like hold your energy for yourself, or make this boundary. And that's when I really noticed like I could help people on that journey too.
I love hearing that. And I love just how different your path was. Can you give me, I mean, I came from a very scientific, very skeptical, I mean, you and I laugh about it, right? Because we're probably polar opposites when it comes to just general like personality and all of that. But I also, I mean, fully believe that there's, it's a Shakespeare quote, like there's more to life, dear Horatio, than's dreamed of in your philosophies or all your philosophies. Talk to me about like, how do you define, you're talking a lot about energy, a lot about being intuitive, about being empathic. Can you just kind of almost define terms for me when you're saying, hey, you're picking up energy from people? What does that mean to people like me who, you know, may not be that intuitive, frankly, but B, like just don't really even understand like the terminology.
Yeah. I mean, just because I think I've like opened this door in the universe for these types of patients to come through, almost everyone, like it's almost like a postpartum screen. Almost everyone's getting like a, are you an empath screen? Do I need to teach you and guide you? Or have you already kind of done that journey? Or are you fine and stable? But these are the people that walk into a room and they know immediately like something's off in the room. They like, they can read the energy of the room, or they're talking to someone, they get off the phone and they're like, oh, I feel gross. I feel like pressed now or sad or whatever emotion that person was just pouring through the phone to them. They just kind of gets like sticky in their body. They hold on to that emotion and they can't like process and move through it or even have the awareness that they're doing that.
That's
so maybe that makes a little more sense. I don't know.
No, it absolutely does. And I think to what you were saying about how I think physical therapists and probably particular pelvic physical therapists gravitate toward that profession, because that, I'm sure there are a lot of empaths in that field, in our field. And I think I love that some of those descriptions, because it's all in how you're thinking about it. But I know a lot of people who would really be like, oh, that was, weren't they weird? And I'm, you know, me being clueless, I'm like, oh, they seem fine to me, right? And you're like, no, yeah. Something was off.
Yes. Yes. Or like, did you feel that? Or like, we need to go home. I can't go to this restaurant. Like they just pick up on something that they can't even put words to sometimes, but it's really a spectrum. Like we're all on the sensitivity spectrum, and that's like, just like we're all so unique or have different eye colors or hair color. Like it's the same kind of thing. We're all meant to perceive a little bit differently and more intensely than others, most likely to be healers or provide care for people.
Oh, I love hearing that. Is there, what would be some other, because you said they had you take a test, Herman Wallace burnout course. Are there any other indicators of like somebody who might be an empath, that picking up the feeling like feelings are sticky, that you're really affected by other things? Is there anything else that would lead somebody to be like, ooh, maybe I need to think more about this or do a little bit of work in this area?
Yeah, I would say if you're a pelvic PT and you're super overwhelmed, that might be part, like something to look into if you haven't looked into that yet. People who, like even just going to the grocery store feels overwhelming, like being in big social situations. So I found myself very extroverted in college and then got more introverted like pretty quick because I couldn't deal with everyone's energy.
Oh, that's really interesting. So do you feel like you got more sensitive to people's energy, that you had that big shift from being in college and like, cool, we're at a party, to, oh gosh, it's four people and that's three people too many?
Yeah, like I just kind of went into my bubble and hibernation. And I think what was happening, like other people will tune into their sensitivities at different times in their life. Some kids go through it, some adults. I was in my mid-20s. So that's when it hit me, kind of like a ton of bricks.
Awesome. So you basically layer on. I love, a lot of people give lip service to things talking about holistic. I mean, I feel like you, that truly does define your practice. You want to work on the physical side, but also the mental side and the past trauma and history and all of that stuff. Can you talk a little bit about how you kind of came to your, I would say, relatively unique, like pelvic PT ethos, as we would talk about it?
I guess I just was like ready to offer something to patients that I felt like I wish was offered to me. This kind of more well-rounded look at all the pieces of the puzzle. And Jesse, every patient is so different that I'm seeing. Some were looking at generational or ancestral trouble and problems. Some were looking into their birth history, like when they were birthed as babies and what patterns they carry through. Some of them were looking like what stored emotions are in the body, how can we release and process them, what trauma are they holding on to in a gentle way that we can move through. And so these like kind of different approaches, I was like, oh, well, that's pretty intuitive that I'm like picking up on what needs to be pulled out. And that's, I think, kind of where it all came into my ethos, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I feel like you have, among the people that we work with, have one of like the best, and maybe this is your intuitive side of, you really do understand like the kind of care you want to be providing. And I think you recognize that that's different than what a lot of people provide. And you're just like 100% okay with that. Like, this is the kind of care that I wanted and the kind of care I believe that people should get. Like, we should go into some of that. Can you talk a little bit? And I know I'm going to get a PT, it depends answer on this. But how much do your treatment sessions now differ from the ones that you had when you were working for someone else at an outpatient clinic? I don't know if you were billing insurance back then or not, but would somebody who comes in the door today who saw you 3 or 4 years ago, how much of the session would they really even recognize?
Yeah, I think 3 or 4 years ago, it was really, I say I'm like really good at black and white. That's how I was trained. But my colorful side is what I think attracts most of my patients and most of my clients. 3 or 4 years ago, I was just learning this stuff. I was just recovering from that like down, anxiety ridden, kind of overwhelmed Emily. Never thought I would open a clinic. Like, no one would have thought that, because I was just like in survival mode. To probably the last like year, I've been really openly treating the way I am, or a year and a half. So people there would see some things that were in my old clinic in Wyoming, but I was billing under insurance and I felt really weird about it. Like doing these big birth healing traumas and kind of reconnecting mom and baby through umbilical cord and energy work and just mind-blowing things that have changed even how their children show up in the world. And I've never met their children. I just worked with mom through her trauma. And I was writing as like meditation for down regulation, blah, 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 or psoas release, and wasn't writing any of like the juicy good stuff. And to be honest, no one knew what I was doing behind closed doors. Patients were finding me and wanted that work, but it was like the secret of the town. And I felt like I couldn't be doing that anymore. It didn't feel good to me anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. And so just to kind of circle back, if somebody is feeling some kind of way about your story, feeling like that resonates, feeling like they hear pieces of, what would be a good first step for those people? I mean, obviously, maybe reaching out to you.
Yeah, that's a possibility. You've walked it.
I, you know, don't mean to have you flood your inbox here, but we will be putting Emily's information down. But what would be like a good first step down that, hey, I want to get more in touch with this intuitive empathic side and even start thinking more about energy work, energy healing? What's the first step in that journey?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people will take like a Reiki class. That's something I never did, but I'm looking at now. I think the class that really, like, besides having my business mentor to like keep me grounded and learn how to protect myself, which if people can do that, that's a good idea. A lot of like intuitives can help you with that. But the big class that I went to that I was able to practice this work and got really excited about it was Lynn Schulte's class at the Institute of Birth Healing, out in Colorado. And she was the one that was like, emotions are stuck in the pelvic bowl. And how do we tune into them? And how do we release them? And that's a trauma coming up. And a lot of her work is based off Tammy Lynn Kent's work. And her book, The Wild Feminine, is a great read as well to learn about the energy of the pelvis and the uterus and the womb and the ovaries and how we can connect to that. And that would be a good learning step. But just so people know, when they read that book, it's all about healing themselves first. And you're going to go through that healing journey and then be able to produce it with your patients.
Got it. So be careful what you wish for if you pick it up. It's not just, this is an interesting read. You're going to have some introspection to do.
It's good. And I go through it slow when I'm ready to like dive in.
Got it. Awesome.
And uncover.
So talk to me then about the decision to start your own practice, because you said a couple years ago, that wasn't something that was really even on your radar. Now, all of a sudden, fast forward a few years, you're living in a completely different town. You're running your own business. Like, did you decide to move first? Did you decide to start your own business first? What was the genesis of Pelvic Wisdom, which by the name is an amazing name?
Thank you. I was surprised no one picked it, but it's perfect for what I do, because I try to teach people about their inner pelvic wisdom and how can they be their own inner healers and listen to what their body's trying to tell them. But that's my side note about the name. I guess it was back in January 2020, I looked at a job in Vermont and that fell through when the pandemic hit. And then I was like, I don't know about opening my own thing. And then the voices kind of got hot, like the messages got louder and louder. And so I decided, okay, maybe I could do this, and just felt like my needs were so unmet where I was. I felt like I wasn't appreciated for what I was doing. I wasn't compensated for what I was doing. And I just was ready for a shift and to really start practicing what I was preaching to patients. I was preaching this, how do we live more cyclically with our cycle? How do we tune into our body? How do we feel in the flow? And then I was in a corporate job that like didn't really give a shit about me, to be honest. And I felt that.
Yeah.
So it was time.
And so what's it like for an empath to start a business? Do you have a sense? I mean, maybe you don't know because it's the water that you swim in, but I would imagine that you had a little bit of a different internal journey than, you know, somebody like I did, you know, where I'm sure you process things very differently. How was that as a business owner? And were there any challenges you ran into with that?
Yeah, I guess there was a lot of fear, especially about being and marketing myself as intuitive. Like a year ago, I would have never been saying these things out loud. And now I can go to a doctor's office and be like, yeah, we look at stored trauma, emotion, birth stories, but also I'm adding my intuitive twist and I'm looking at these things. And they're like, whoa, that's cool. That's just what this town needs. You fill this niche. And it's all working out and rewarding. But there was a lot of fear about outing myself as a healer, to be honest, because that's a scary thing. And I'm sure, you know, what do we want to call it? Witches, healer, whatever it was, but I'm sure in past lives, I was killed for that. And so it activates these old fears that I have stuck in my body and stuck in my like communication system and in my womb space. So there was a lot of fear coming up. So that was like the logical part, fear. But then I was working a lot with my friend who does energy work, and she was helping me envision and feel into what it would be like for a visit. And this dear friend, Erica, she like helped me go forward in future. And I went to my own appointment in like 3 years ahead of time. And I met myself as a practice owner. And I like went to ask her all these questions. It was very intuitive and very like guided, but that's when I was like, I can see it. I went to my own clinic. It's a thing. And that made it so easy to make the decision. And it wasn't very logical, like a business owner even thing. Very intuitive. And I was just like, that's going to happen. That's what's supposed to happen. And I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I love that you just trusted your instinct, trusted what you wanted the experience to be like, and said, hey, that's the whole reason you start your own business, is that you want to be in control of what the experience is like and be able to give people a different experience than they would get someplace else. Have you gotten any pushback from medical providers that you've met with or from patients? Has there been any of that, or has it been much less of that than you were expecting?
Much less of it than I'm expecting. And I think where my resistance still lies is within myself. And I question, is this patient coming to me, or did they send and refer this patient because they want the black and white or because they want the colorful? And I really had to like step back and examine that, do some healing on it, and then be like, shit, I'm going to show up as colorful. Like, that's what I'm doing here. That's what I'm marketing. That's what it is. And it's exciting. And patients are like, oh, I've never tried to be intuitive, but this is really interesting. And I really like this side of things. And they're taking to it well. And I would say practitioners are way more excited about it than I realized they would be.
That's really cool. That's really neat to hear. And just to have, be like supported. Yeah. In your local community, mm-hmm. especially in a place that you just moved to, you're starting to feel that. Do most of your patients come in already in tune with their empathetic side and being like, cool, Dr. Emily, like, let's rock and roll with the Reiki? Or are you introducing them? You know, because obviously there's something in the way that you present things on your website, the way that you talk, the way you communicate, that it's drawing the kind of people who need to be seen by you. Are they already in touch with that? Or is it a little bit of a process of discovery with you and them?
It's kind of half and half. Some like, and I think everyone chooses my service because there's some kind of like essence that they see or something that is calling them to do this healing journey together. But it's interesting. Some are like, oh yeah, I can feel that. Or, oh yeah, I can see that in my mind's eye. And other people are typically younger or unaware of it. And I start showing them these practices and treatments and meditations. And then they're like, oh, okay. That felt good. And you're right. I do need to watch my boundaries and monitor my energy. And then it unfolds for them. And those are the people I'm guiding that aren't sure they're empathic. They don't know why they're anxious. But everyone that comes in my clinic and says anxiety, I circle like big letters, like, oh, let's see if that changes by the time we're done. And I teach you some tools that aren't just your black and white pelvic PT.
Yes, I love hearing that, Nicole. One of the things she has always said that resonates so much with what you just said right there is that she wants people to leave the clinic better people, not just with a better pelvic floor, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to do stuff that's going to hopefully decrease your anxiety and get you back to doing something that you love to do and make you more content in your home life. And I think whatever verbiage you have around that, I love that you guys share that goal. It's not just like, oh, you're not leaking anymore, ship shape. That's really
right. Cool. It's like five layers deeper, you know? And I think that's what makes both of us passionate about what we do.
Yeah, that's so cool to hear. Man, that's really neat. So what has been for you the biggest change, transformation that you've noticed in yourself since having your own business? Is there something you can point to that, oh, Emily today is pretty dramatically different than Emily 12 months ago?
Yeah, I went back and visited Wyoming and Colorado, and I felt like a different person going back and like seeing some coworkers. I was like, oh yeah, don't want to be in that environment anymore. Like, can't be in that environment. And now I just feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I feel in alignment. I get super giddy about it. I mean, there's obviously highs and lows, but I just feel like every time I talk to my mom, which is like daily, she's like, you have such stories. You're doing such crazy work. I can't even believe it's unfolding and happening like this. And I feel so good in my body. Like, my pelvic floor is so good now because I'm supporting myself. So one of the things to back up for a second or explain that, one of the things that the pelvic floor can show us is if the back of the pelvic floor is tight, like we're thinking like anal fissures, hemorrhoids, tailbone pain, any kind of posterior pain or pain with intercourse, typically it's because we don't feel like very supported. And it could be relationship, could be family, could be partner, could be work. And work was my one. I wasn't supported. And you would think quitting your job, moving cross country and opening your own thing on your own income, single, and all of that stuff would tighten those pelvic floor muscles. And it didn't. It did the exact opposite. This is the best I've ever felt.
You created your own support, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dang. That gave me a little bit of chills just hearing that. I got to tell you.
Good. We're getting you into the energy work.
Yeah, right. You're a little gateway drug getting my, you know, usually it's like getting blood from a stone to get any emotion out of me. But talk to me about some of those stories about a patient. Like, what does that look like for, you know, when you're calling your mom and like the most excited conversation you've had about a patient? Like, what was that like? Can I almost want to like just get a glimpse of you working through those multiple layers with somebody where they're coming in for one thing and then all of a sudden six layers deep into the onion. Like, is there anything that pops to your mind when I were talking about that?
Yeah, today. Yeah, there's like so many good ones. But today I had a patient and in her psoas muscle, which is, you know, one of our big back muscles that tends to be very tight and dry and restricted and pulling on the pelvic floor from above, we were able to tune into it, and she was holding her own birth trauma when she was born and how stressful that was. There was an epidural, forceps, she was bruised. And she remembers seeing recently a picture of the doctor holding her up as a newborn, like kind of like bruised and just beat up from birth. And she just had this visceral response, and she kind of knew this was something she had to heal. And I was able to tune into the body and where was that? And it was in her psoas, and we were able to reprocess her birth. And she was able to feel like there was support around her. There was guidance. She was loved. She was meant to be born. She was meant to be supported. And there is so much more for her in life. And that's why she was brought into this world, where when we first tuned into it, it was a lot of fear, a lot of being alone, a lot of abandonment. And these were issues that threaded through her 40-year life, you know, that she's been seeing in all of her day-to-day patterns came from the dissociation of her birth. So we replayed it, we reformatted it, gave her like new parameters or new ways to think about it. And she left feeling really different, feeling like that muscle could move. It was juicy. She was relaxed and then very much in her body. And like, even she felt like she could step heavier on the ground. Like there was a heaviness because her, how I think about it, like her soul isn't worried about that thing that happened. And like in the corner of the room, it's now like she's grounded in her body and it's safe to be fully present. And so that was cool. And we just,
yeah.
We're like, this is why I do what I do and how I do it. And if you ask any, and I'm sure you know this, Jesse, but most people look at the psoas and they're like, how can we poke, prod, needle that like psoas hook, the hip hook that you lay on that like shoves a piece of plastic up into your stomach to release your psoas? Like everyone's trying to like poke it. And that's my pet peeve is like, please don't poke the psoas. It's like a connective tissue that's messaging trauma and fear and emotion. And if we poke it, like, and that practitioner is not trauma informed and ready to hold space for that release, like that patient's going to freak out or they're not going to have a release of the tissue. And so to me, it's this really delicate balance, and we dance with it and we work with it and I tune into it energetically and then gently release it and see the patient show up totally different. And then at the end, I'm like, how do you feel in your body? And they're like, oh my God, I feel vulnerable. I've never been here. I could do anything. I have wings. I could fly.
That is so cool. And just seeing like it's so awesome to see. I feel like the word that you said earlier that really sticks with me when I think about you and what you've built at Pelvic Wisdom is that word alignment.
Yeah.
I think I have not ever heard that word used. I mean, not heard that word used in that way, but I think ultimately like that's one of the reasons Nicole and I wanted to start this podcast is we wanted everybody to feel in alignment with where they were in their life, in their business and everything else. And when you are, and it's pretty clear that you are, it's amazing what things happen. That doesn't necessarily mean starting your own business. It doesn't necessarily mean having to pick up and move. Obviously it can in your case,
right.
But just feeling like, hey, I'm in the right place. Like, can you describe like what you really mean when you say that word alignment? Cause I feel like that word just hits pretty heavy.
Right. Could mean like things are in a line for me. I guess it's really just feeling like I'm doing what I'm meant to be doing. And my business is working for me the way I want it to work. I'm healing the way I want myself to heal. I'm treating patients the way I want to be treated. All these things are just the way that I designed them. And that's working and in tune that feel in alignment. And when I feel in alignment, I feel so good in my body. Like I'm just present and calm. I'm not anxious anymore. Most people that would meet me wouldn't even know anxiety was ever an issue. So yeah, when your health kind of falls into line with it, I think that's when you can really like, oh, I'm doing the thing.
Yeah.
Not that it needs to, but
I mean, you are doing, it's really been fun to watch, and congratulations on all of the success you've had. And I mean, honestly, being a business owner and feeling better in your body and feeling less anxious is a miracle in and of itself. I can't tell you, I wish that we had been half as quick as you have been to kind of get into that alignment early on. Just honestly, it's a lot of times we neglect our bodies. We aren't thinking that way. And we're stressed. We're running around like chickens with our heads cut off. We're not being able to focus on the most important things. And for you as a young business owner to have that sense of alignment already, I think is a real credit to a lot of the self-reflection that you've done and the work that you've put in on that. So it just, you deserve all the success that you're having. And it's so exciting to see. And I love that you are giving people just a different option. You're bringing the color. And for some people, like that's exactly what they need at that time, and just love to see that. So just really commend all of the work that you've been doing. I want to throw it to you. I know I've taken a lot of your time and I could talk to you about this stuff for forever. So, but want to throw it to you about any kind of last words, any thoughts of any pelvic wisdom for everybody out there. And then we're going to put your contact information down in the show notes. So if anybody is on that empathetic journey or feeling like that is something that's weighing, and if you're okay, Emily, we always want to keep that conversation going and have them be able to reach out to you. But yeah, any other words of wisdom for us?
Yeah, I would say your body's like a tuning fork, right? It's going to tell you messages or what you need to know. You can kind of sink down and kind of ask your body. And if you're not sure how to do that, you can learn how to do that. And I think one of my dreams down the road is doing a course teaching practitioners how to use their intuition in their practice and how to start opening the doors. Like, hey, this isn't as scary as it needs to be. And like, if you can feel into the energy of your patients, imagine how much deeper the healing is. Imagine the layers that like you didn't even know were there. Whereas in school, I had a professor that said, oh, we don't talk about anything but the weather. If they talk about any emotions, I pull them right back to the weather. And I'm like, oh my God, you're missing all of it. Emotions are what is hiding down there on the pelvic floor and wrapped up in tension. So use your body as an indicator, as a tuning fork to make decisions, and it's possible. And find friends that are intuitive or willing to talk about energy, and form a little group and talk about it and play with it and just test yourself. It's fun. It's fun for me. That's what I do for fun.
Right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Emily. I really appreciate you being on. And yeah, just again, we've loved working with you over this and just really excited to see where Pelvic Wisdom is going from here. So congratulations, guys. Please do reach out to Emily if you are feeling like you're on that journey, or if you're feeling like you are dealing with any of the things that she was dealing with and feeling overwhelmed and stuck. I'm sure that you would be a great person for them to reach out and connect with. You can obviously always reach out and connect with us, because we do want to keep this conversation going. And let's continue to rise.